Do you want to talk to me about that?
Good afternoon. I'm going to open the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Effectiveness. It is Thursday, June 4th. Good afternoon. To start off, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 383A. And, colleagues, there's an amendment before us. Do you want to maybe summarize the amendment?
Absolutely.
And then, Cindy, did you want to come up? I know that, I mean, I can, for Representative Rayfield, I know that the questions that he asked, but go ahead, Patrick, and give us a quick summary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Dash A6 amendment, which is on OLIS, has no fiscal impact and no revenue impact on the measure with the Dash A6. It modifies the definition of design professional to include persons licensed in another state to practice as an architect, landscape architect, professional engineer, or professional land surveyor. The amendment also deletes a requirement for summary of alleged conduct to be included in the complaint and deletes the exemption for public bodies, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so thank you for coming up. Just wanted, because you had testified extensively before on a couple of factors. One was a geographic limitation on the expert, and the other was substantive comments that the attorney would have to give, saying the design professional found that the the design was deficient in X way. It's my understanding that both of those requirements have been removed from the amendment that's before us, but I just wanted to see if you could just speak, that's your understanding as well.
Madam Chair, Cindy Robert, American Institute of Architects. I've also, luckily we have in the room, Marissa James from Legislative Council, who wrote the bill, if we need any more intelligent answers than I can provide. We did two things in this bill. We took out the summary that the lawyer had to provide, and we made it so that anyone who is licensed, registered, or somehow credentialed in another state could also be a witness. So what we're left with is a witness has to be currently practicing, licensed, registered. We call it credentialed here because not all states have registration or licensure in that verbiage. That's why it says currently licensed or registered to practice, and of this, that's not what we said. We said Register or license with similar credentials, so that our thought was that made it so that you were working similarly now in either architect, engineering, or land surveying per what our intent was. And there is no summary required at this point.
Thank you. And then on page 2, lines 1 through 6 of the amendment, under current law, the attorney must attest to that they have an expert who will testify that, and I'm quoting now from page 2, line 1, the alleged conduct of the construction design professional failed to meet the standard of professional care applicable to the construction design professional in the circumstances alleged. So that's current law. Mm-hmm. This is changing it to say the alleged conduct of the design professional failed to meet the standard of professional skill and care ordinarily provided by other design professionals with similar credentials, experience, expertise, and practicing under the same or similar circumstances. But through our conversation, it's my understanding that this is not intended to be a substantive change to that attestation. It's just kind of updating the language so that it matches with the similar credentialed language, but it's not. So for example, any existing case law that's interpreted the old standard should continue to apply to the new standard in terms of what the expert has to or to be willing to testify to. Is that your understanding as well?
Madam Chair, it is. And actually, I don't even know why that language was put there. That was not one of the – we had four things we wanted. Two of them are still here. Some of them are out. This wasn't one of them. But maybe Marissa can answer how that language aligns. I think it's just as you say, that it aligns the language from the beginning of the statute to the end of the statute.
Okay. And Marissa, if you can come up if you want, but we assume that it was just kind of legislative council kind of updating the statute and making the language consistent and not making a substantive change.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Marissa James, the legislative council. I don't think I wrote this language, but I do agree. I mean, I did write it, but I don't think I came up with it on my own. But I do agree that it seems like the same standard as exists in the current law.
Okay. So then, colleagues, we're not trying to bore you. We're just trying to make purpose of legislative history to show why the language is changing, but to say that it's kind of merely an updating of the statutory language, but that any case law interpreting the old standard should apply to this as well, because it's not intended to be a substantive change. We probably already covered it, but you're welcome to ask a question if you'd like.
Yeah, and I had a constituent issue, so I apologize for being late. So I will bore the committee just to make sure that I feel comfortable. I'm always comfortable boring Representative Holvey. I just want to make sure that this new updated language would not prevent someone from using an expert from a different state who is qualified to testify at trial.
Chair Fagan, Representative Rayfield, right. So you need a design professional, which is defined as a person registered here in Oregon or licensed in another state. So it would include professionals licensed in other states.
Any other questions, colleagues?
Can we move on?
Okay. Oh. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So with that, I will entertain a motion on the -A6.
Madam Chair, I move that the committee adopt the -A6 amendments to Senate Bill 383 dated June 3rd, 2015.
Representative Rayfield has moved that the committee adopt the -A6 amendments to Senate Bill 383. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
All right, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 383A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rayfield moves Senate Bill 383A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Just out of an abundance of caution, initially I was a no vote on this bill because my initial thoughts from the earlier testimony was that this bill would prevent out-of-state experts who were qualified to be able to testify in Oregon, based on the testimony now that it will allow out-of-state experts who are qualified to testify on this matter. I will be a yes vote.
Thank you. Further discussion? Okay, seeing none, Debbie, please call the roll.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Neerman?
Aye.
Representative Starr?
Yes.
Representative Holvey?
Aye.
Vice Chair Buehler?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
And Chair Fagan?
Yes. And I will go ahead and carry this bill so we can continue to be equally boring and careful with the legislative history.
Do you have time?
I do have time. Just make sure to just bring a good movie that day on the floor so you can tune out if you'd like.
I will yield.
Okay. For those listening, for the millions listening at home, we're kidding. We do not watch movies on the floor. We pay attention. With that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 383A, or I guess the motion passes, and then I will close the work session on Senate Bill 383A. And with that, I will open a work session on Senate Bill 358. Want to give us a reminder of that?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. 358, we heard way back on April 2nd. It's a measure that changes the requirement that agencies file adopted rules with legislative counsel from 10 days after filing with the Secretary of State to within 10 days of filing. It removes the requirement that modification of agency rules that change name of agency, change the name of a program, correct spelling or grammatical mistakes, correct statutory references, or the correct address or telephone numbers be filed with and undergo review by legislative counsel. Since we've heard this bill last time, we have received two amendments, both of which I believe one of our Vice Chair Buehler will speak to, the -1 and -3 amendment, Madam Chair, and also Melissa Seidlick, who testified on April 2nd on this bill, is also in the room to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move to consider the -3 of the amendments.
Representative Buehler has moved that the committee adopt the -3 amendments dated 5/19/15. Is there any discussion?
I can give some history. So if you remember, this is the bill, the origin of which came from the discussion after we had a series of hearings about outdated laws that were on the books. And so we all said, we had experience, I think, with it, outdated administrative rules. And so I went and did a little research. And what came back is that there's already a law in the books that says that after 5 years, major agencies, and it's defined, should review their significant administrative rules for unintended consequences, costs, those types of things, if they're having intended effects. Well, very few agencies actually do that. So in the words of Representative Holvey, basically this amendment just try to compels the agencies to follow existing law. I love that. I wrote that. I told Paul that I am a collector of quotes, so he made my collection.
But to be clear, but to be clear, that comment wasn't about this amendment.
Yeah, it was about
that's the beautiful thing about quotes.
So what this does is the agency has now 6 months to do what they're already supposed to do by statutory law. They're supposed, and then if they're not reported to the pertinent legislative committee, they're put on essentially a delinquent list for 6 months. And if they don't do it after that 6 months, then the legislature has the option to withhold 10% of their budget till they actually do what they're supposed to do. So that's the
further discussion. Colleague, oh yes, go ahead.
Well, I didn't see these, so maybe they were on OLIS and I just didn't see them. I'm sorry. But can I ask a question
of
the carrier? So what you're saying is that they have 6 months from what time? What's the?
They have, so after 5 years, the agency, by current law, is supposed to review the administrative rule. Mm-hmm. If they don't do that, they have 6 months after being warned, hey, this is due. So if they don't do it, they're assigned after five years, they'll be told, hey, you have 6 months to do that. If they don't do it, they have another 6 months where they're on a delinquent list. Mm-hmm. And so basically you have another year to get it done.
And I have one more question.
Go ahead.
So the penalty is holding up what?
10%, the option to hold up 10% of their budget till they do it.
Okay. Representative.
I actually agree with Representative Bueller that, you know, these are good things to actually be reviewing it, which is why the current statute is in effect. Sitting on the Ways and Means side of things, I think the proper way to go through this would be through a budget note to have the agency report on their progress on these things. The problem is when we put in very rigid 10% decreases in budgets, budgets are very different between the different agencies, and it doesn't give us the flexibility when we're working in the budgets to be able to implement something that caters to the specific issue. And there may be other factors complicating why agencies have a delay in being able to implement this. And so I think from I agree with the intent of it. I just think that the mechanism for doing it is a little bit aggressive and doesn't give us flexibility in the process. So for those reasons, I would vote
no. Point of clarification.
Okay.
Actually, it's may withhold up to 10%. So I think there is that necessary flexibility in there. It gives us another level. But it's a may, and it's up to 10%.
Okay. Representative Nierman.
Also on the budget note thing, that you only get a crack at that once every couple of years. So I agree with Representative Rayfield that's a good tool to use, but it doesn't come around often enough. And this one would come around in the interim. So I kind of like this amendment.
Representative Stark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would point out, should the Ways and Means Committee choose to withhold 10%, up to 10% funding, it does say the next line on this that once those reports are in, that funding basically gets restored. So it's a way to force people to actually comply with what they're supposed to do.
So, and I'll just finally say, you know, I definitely appreciate the intent of the amendment, and I also appreciate the great effort that Representative Bueller has gone through. I'm going to be a no on the amendment. Primarily because we just have not had an opportunity to hear from any agencies about why. So it feels like coming up with a solution without understanding the exact problem. Are there more higher priority things that they're doing that allow that? We haven't actually heard from any agencies or anyone to know, A, the scope of the problem, or B, why the problem persists and what other tools would be available to help them comply with current law. So for that reason, I will be a no on the amendment, but, you know, appreciate the opportunity to have it heard, and certainly something that I think we could look at going into the, if it does not pass, go into the February session and maybe a task force or something to look at why, you know, is it a large-scale problem? Are there a lot of agencies not cleaning up these? If so, why? and what other tools we could create to help them, instead of just punishing them for not complying with the law, creating tools to help them comply with the law. So Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just wanted to comment about this. I'm not sure if we've actually identified any agencies that aren't doing this yet. I guess that's sort of a question because I do remember, and Madam Speaker, I'm not sure if you were here that day, we did hear from the Betty Skillern, I think, who worked for the Oregon Department of Veterans Administration, and saying that they did do that every 5 years, and that she previously worked at the real estate agency where she did that as well. And it has been my experience when these things happen, we see agencies bring, sometimes they'll bring statutes back to the legislature periodically, and we may not recognize it as a result of those reviews of rules, but they oftentimes do that to clean up not just the rules, but also the statutes that are antiquated. So I think this is a good conversation. I'm just not sure, you know, the expanse of the problem, and you know how pervasive this is, and whether this is the correct way to address it. But I think it's a good question.
Representative Buehler,
I can assure you, it's a big problem. And I think it's the exception other than the rule if there's agencies doing it. And I guess if these were concerns, I'd have appreciated you guys let me know ahead of time, and we could have had more discussion and try to solve this problem if you wanted to hear more from the agencies. But I certainly heard no one express that need. And again, we're not creating a new requirement here. We are just trying to encourage agencies to do what's already on the books, which is existing law. So, and if they're going to ignore the existing law, then maybe the discussion should be just getting rid of the existing law. But that's another topic for discussion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, with that, Debbie, please call the roll.
Representative Nierman?
Aye.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative
Holby? No.
Representative McClain?
No.
Vice Chair Buehler?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
No.
And Chair Fagan?
No. And with that, the motion fails. Are there any other motions? Are you going to make a motion on the other amendment as well?
Can I ask a question? So we just voted on one.
On the one amendment, yes.
Okay. So if we have to get this out of here today, is that correct?
We have to get, yeah, today is the last day our committee meets.
Okay. And so if this, so this will go where next?
To the House floor.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So I will take a motion on any other amendments or on the underlying bill.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 358 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rayfield moves Senate Bill 358 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes.
I will be a no vote on this bill, and even though I made the motion, and I want to express my reason why. The one of the parts of this bill actually does not allow legislative council to review whether or not a rule change is procedural or substantive. And through the testimony that we took right now, a rule actually comes through, and if it's procedural, it still goes to legislative council for review. And the concept behind that, well, we're wasting our time because this is just a procedural change. However, when I asked who makes the determination on whether or not this is procedural or substantive, it's the agency that drafts the rule. And so if the agency makes a mistake, and in fact it is a substantive change when it was misidentified as a procedural, then it's not going to go through the same protections as a substantive bill will. And legislative council would have caught that. And so for me, I want to have legislative council is the backup to be able to just ensure that, yes, this is a procedural rule change as opposed to a substantive. And for those reasons, you know, I'm going to vote no.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Can I ask a question of the carrier? or it's not a carrier.
Would you like to come up if it was a question?
I guess. I want to know what we're left with without that amendment. Tell me, you know, in layman's terms, exactly what do we get?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Melissa Seidlick, Legislative Council's office. The first part of the bill would change the 10-day rule so mm-hmm. that amended rules, new rules submitted, not just 10 days after mm-hmm. filing with the Secretary of State, but also before, mm-hmm. are not going to be held invalid because they're not received in our office.
Okay.
The second part, which is what Representative Rayfield is mm-hmm. referring to, deals with non-substantive amendments. Mm-hmm. And there is a statute that authorizes just non-substantive technical changes, such as the committee administrator read off, to be made. Mm-hmm. I will point out the statutes do not provide our office has a duty to review procedural versus substantive. We are limited to, is the legislation within the intent and scope of the enabling, or is the rule within the intent and scope of the enabling legislation, or are there constitutional issues? So technically, we will, if we look at it as a courtesy, point out this is not a substantive or a non-technical, or excuse me, technical non-substantive amendment. We will as a courtesy, but we are not charged by statute with that duty as existing law is.
Okay.
And I thought that was a perfect explanation. And I know you're not charged with it, but you are doing it, and I'd like you to keep doing it. And so thank you very much for your testimony.
Yes, Representative Buehler.
Yeah, I'll be in now also. I think these topics just bring up a whole lot of questions about our administrative rule process that needs to be looked at in more depth before making any changes.
Thank you.
It'd be a great topic for us.
Great. That would be a great informational hearing in the interim. Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none, Debbie, please. Oh, yes, go ahead.
Could I call for a recess?
Yes.
Momentarily?
Sure. We'll be stand at ease for a moment. Okay, and I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 358. And with that, is there anything else?
What happens to the motion?
So the bill will die. Do you withdraw the motion, technically?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Yeah, you either go through with the roll call vote, or you have him withdraw the
motion. So can I reopen the work session?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to reopen the work session on Senate Bill 358. And Representative Rayfield, do you want to withdraw your motion?
I will withdraw my motion to move this bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And then can I just say it's withdrawn, or do I have to ask for an opinion?
That's all. Once he withdraws the motion, it's open. You don't have
okay.
to.
Okay. Motion is withdrawn. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 358. And with that, colleagues, I think that clears our agenda for today. I don't know what our total count of bills was, but so I'm going to close the meeting, but then I'll say a couple of about our party and stuff after
I was actually told, Madam Chair, if I may, before you close the hearing, if you say on the record that this official on our last meeting planned, then what will happen is after this, we won't have to issue agendas saying no meeting today. So
right,
you always have the prerogative as chair to schedule a meeting. How it will appear on the calendars, it will appear as meeting at the request of the chair.
Okay.
So she could have informational meetings going
correct.
Forward.
I may decide to punish you all. So with that, there's nothing else to carry over, and I will close the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Effectiveness.